Welcome, Manju, to the IoT for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thank you, Ryan. Excited to be here and look at the opportunity talking about FourKites and how we are using IoT and AI.
It's great to have a member of the team for FourKites, come across the company many times in the past, but have not had the opportunity to speak with anybody from the team. So happy to have you. I think it'd be good to give a quick introduction about yourself and the company to our audience to kick things off.
I'm Himanshu Mehrotra. I'm the Vice President for Product Management at FourKites. I've spent almost 22 years in supply chain tech industry, and I currently look after our shipment visibility solutions and our AI platform and anything to do with data analytics and how we're using AI to run our data analytics and so on. So that's really part of my solution portfolio. Before FourKites, I spent quite a bit of time in various different companies. I started my journey with supply chain veteran IoT technologies into very supply chain planning and execution space, and then moved into supply chain solution strategy, where I kind of used the knowledge I gathered to build the new control tower kind of solutions and collaborative solutions at Blue Yonder before moving into FourKites. So I've been with FourKites for over a couple of years now. And one of the reasons why I also joined FourKites to make a jump was because of the amount of real-time data that companies are gathering and the potential about that particular data for supply chain users and customers that can be driven through that. And that was one of my key motivations to join FourKites. To give you a quick brief, if someone doesn't really understand what FourKites does, so we started in mid-2010s, around 2015. We started the journey, or we actually coined the term called Real-Time Transport Visibility Platform, which really means is we were able to give our customers real-time updates of where their freight was, so that we, and one of the key things we do is we look at various devices on the truck, on the air, ocean, and so on, and then use those signals to help our customers understand where the freight is while they are moving, because that was one of the major issues. They were really completely lost when the where exactly their freight is. But more importantly, we were also one of the pioneers to use that data and drive data science on that one and help predicting our customers when that particular freight will arrive at their destination. So the value that we provide to our customers is to make sure that production is always running on time, their customer services is fully satisfied, their orders are delivered on time, and so on. So there is a lot of value we drive by making these capabilities available for our customers.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I appreciate the overview. I think it'd be good to dive in a little further into this space. So into the kind of the supply chain, freight, shipping space, and talk about mainly for the education of a lot of our audience who may be connected to the space, work in this space in some capacity, help them understand what IoT has done or how IoT has played a role or is playing a role in this space. You know, where were we kind of coming from? And then how has IoT enabled a lot of the things that you mentioned, providing that visibility, providing that new data in real time, that visibility into shipping, into kind of where things are in transit, and then the ability to do more with that data. So how is IoT really playing a role across the board there? Love if you can kind of dive in and just kind of help kind of showcase to our audience a little bit more about what's happening with IoT in this industry.
I would say before we started this particular solution, our CEO, Matt, started this industry. What used to happen was our customers would really load stuff into truck and trailers, dispatch them, and then they really didn't know when it's going to reach their customers. And only when the customers receive it in their warehouses, then the customers would know. And the shipper, the one who sent the freight, they wouldn't even know the reality. So they will ask carriers for proof of delivery and so on. But sometimes this whole journey could take anything between 1 day to 2 to 3 months, depending on the mode of the transport. So if it's an ocean shipment, it could go all the way to 2 months and so on. And that's a very long time to really be waiting for freight. And there is a lot of downstream impacts on our customers. So, for example, if there are spare parts coming in to get into a car manufacturing, and if you really don't understand when your freight is going to arrive, what you tend to do is it could actually potentially stop production at a particular site. So that's the severity of this. And because of this, many of the customers started to build a lot of inventory, because if there was a variability, if it arrives exactly when as planned, then it's okay, but there's not never happened, right? So it was 2-3 weeks earlier or later on. And because of that variability, our customers started to spend a lot of time creating buffer stocks, and that increased the cost of their supply chains. So what we did was we then said, okay, there is a need in the market to understand, to provide when will that particular freight arrive at the final destination, and let the planners make actions with that. So the best way we found was to really, instead of going and asking the freight providers or carriers and so on individually what's happening, we said, how can we find that information? So the most important thing we did was we started with truckload. We found out that most of these trucks and assets that are running on the road have got some form of ELD devices on them. And with that, we were able to really receive real-time information over where that particular truck is. And using that data on a very frequent basis, we were able to actually predict when the freight is going to arrive. And that really helped our customers to see those production doesn't stop, or their customers are satisfied on time and so on. But further, it was these signals were helping us to also understand, is it going through an unsecure zone? How long is it spending in that unsecure zone? Especially if you are really moving some very high value parts or high value goods, then some of our customers really want to make sure that in an unsecure zone, they move out of that particular zone as quickly as possible. So those were some use cases we started with. And then we moved from road to ocean to air, rail, and other modes as well. So that's been one of our key solution areas. And I would say we started with some of these devices, but as you can imagine, we cannot just depend on one sort of signal. So we needed an ability to consume various sort of devices. So some customers have got IoT devices put along with their freight, so we can track that. Some customers want to also track if the temperature is, if their goods are at the right temperature, because if they are shipping food and all those things, then those are very important to be done. So that's been the role of IoT for us, and it's been really very helpful to drive this, the first few use cases at our company.
Yeah, it seems like the maturity of network connectivity and the maturity of devices are two pieces that play a big role in all this. You know, the devices being able to sense different things, whether it's, you know, temperature or access to things that are in the truck, things along those lines. And then the connectivity being able to collect data throughout the entire journey of a shipment. I feel like those two are really big pieces that have played a prior role in enabling a lot of this to even be possible.
Absolutely. And I think the maturity of these devices have also changed a lot in the last few years. So we have been earlier relying on ELD devices, but now we have got far more different types of devices as well. So just very recently, we're working with a partner who is actually building smart labels. So smart label is an amazing technology that transmits information of where basically that package is, right? So earlier I was talking about tracking the entire truck or an asset, but now with these smart labels, we can track individual boxes where they are going, and also when they are actually opened. So there are further use cases we are starting to see. Like if you imagine you are a medical devices company, right, and you provide very important material for hospitals, pharmacies, and so on. But one of the biggest challenges for these industries is they don't know what's the stock at their customers are or the hospitals are, and they have to be always replenishing that stock at a regular time. Now, what IoT is doing is it's giving that information, saying that how many packages did I actually send. And when it was consumed, as soon as the label gets broken, they know that now that box been opened and it's been consumed, so that they get a real-time consumption directly from the point of from the hospitals as well. So imagine all of these IoT devices suddenly starts to open up far more valuable services for our customers, reducing cost. But more importantly, it's a matter of life and death in certain situations. So just IoT by itself is providing that capability for our customers to ensure the hospitals are always having the right material on time.
I imagine that your customers are very appreciative of the access to this new data. Are there other things that they're doing with the data that they now have access to, the real-time data, and just some of the historical data, that is it enabling new things or enabling insights into things that maybe they didn't have the access to before that are really kind of transforming the way they do business or the ability to do business better?
We started with just the real-time visibility, but with that visibility, we are now able to predict certain learnings from the past. So for example, when it goes through a certain, let's take a very simple example, like very recently, you might have heard the Baltimore bridge collapse that happened, right? Now, within our platform, we can clearly look what would get impacted, which kind of shipments were being used to cross that particular bridge, what would be the impact of those particular shipments, how long it will take more, would it actually cause more traffic on the alternate routes and so on. So we can actually quickly look back and use that data that we have collected and start helping our customers to say, oh, because of this Baltimore bridge collapse, your now shipments are going to take 2 more days extra, or the shipments that are already en route, you may better book it through a different route altogether, right? So those are the learnings they are getting. So they are actually being far more, rather than looking in real time or after the fact, they are now being more proactive and saying that, oh, I now know that between these two. So I'll give you another great example of a large CPG customer who moves ocean freight. Now, with the data that they have collected, now they can actually be far more certain how long does it take to move certain goods from Europe to North America. And because of that, they can start reducing their safety stocks in there. And every time they even reduce 1 day of safety stock, it is a savings of millions of dollars for them. So that's an example of what they're doing with this information that they collect with the real-time IoT signals we provide to them.
How have you all handled like data standards? It doesn't seem like data standards really maybe have existed as much. How are you able to kind of transform any kind of data into a standardized format for consumption for customers?
Yeah, no, I think this has been a challenge initially for us, but we already knew that this will be a problem, that each source will have very different type of data coming to us, and we needed to have a very flexible way of consumption data in real time and transforming it into a standard canonical format that we would understand. So that's where we have done a lot of hard work in the part of consumption itself. So we actually can look at data coming in from various sources and dynamically map it to the data that we want and how we want to consume it. So there is a very robust integration technology we have built. But however, we are looking for any standardization opportunities that are there driven by through larger consortiums and so on. We would love, we like to take part in that one. So by doing that, we can at least get some standardized data from certain sources. But if we can't, then again, we have to really have a robust integration which can consume it and understand what this data means. And we do have a lot of AI-driven data cleansing processes as well behind that.
How about on the network side? So I imagine with this freight going through many different types of environments, different areas of the world, network coverage doesn't always exist, right? So the transmission of data can be disrupted at times. So how do you approach that? How do you handle that? How do you kind of just even communicate that potential and what's happening to customers?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think this has been a pretty large issue when we started with this. So again, as I said earlier, we look at the devices that are there in trucks. But when they are not available, we look at other opportunities. So for example, we have a mobile app that helps us to track it. But also in certain areas where signals are not there, we actually store that signal. And then we have something called smart forecasting. So what that does is, based on what's happened previously, we can start forecasting what will happen in the next part of the journey when we really are not getting signals. But as soon as the signals come in, we can get all the signals that got stored, and we can consume it later on. But more importantly, as we are moving further, we are looking at many other options where we will not just be depending on one source of signals. We are looking at signals coming from various things. So we're looking at sources through satellite devices, Bluetooth devices, location things, and so on. So combining a lot of these signals is helping us to ensure that we can provide some sort of connectivity, and we don't lose the signals for our customers.
Another question I want to ask you is, with all this different data coming in from different points, how do you work with your customers to take that data, clean that data to make sure that it's the valuable data is kind of what's left over? And then how do you kind of work to augment all of those different pieces of information to help them solve a true business problem? Because I think that's an area where, with IoT, having access to all this data is great, but being able to do something with that data and how you use that data is really where the power of these solutions comes in. And that's kind of brings into the conversation AI and how AI is now becoming more of a part of IoT solutions. So I'd love to kind of understand kind of how you approach that, how you've thought about that, how that's impacting kind of this industry as a whole.
When we started, we said, okay, let's get the signals of the IoT devices. Then we said, okay, let's drive certain predictions, like using data science to predict when the shipments are going to come in. But now we are even using AI to the next level. So I'll give you two examples of that. So we have got one of the key things many of our customers are trying to do is automate their gate operations. So think of when a driver is coming to the gate to load a truck or unload a truck, there is a gate operation. Someone is there manually looking at the truck coming in. Do they have the authorization to come in? What are they going to come and do it? And put a lot of, there is paperwork associated with that. But now with these further devices, we can actually identify quickly the truck numbers, the USDOT numbers, which are always printed on the trucks and so on, and then go back within the systems and then say, oh, this particular carrier, this is the carrier, this is the asset that has come in, and it's going to go and pick up a goods for customer X or customer Y, for example, and that's an authorized truck. So let them pass in. So the entire gate operations can be very far more efficient without any friction, and then they can divert them directly to the place or the bay where they want that has been allocated to them. So that's a very good use case of how AI and these devices are helping to efficiently move the gate operation itself. So that's a good thing. The other use cases that we are starting to look at is, I talked to you about the labels and stuff, right? So one of the challenges we also get is, what's really happening in certain, like in a warehouse, right? So one of the biggest challenges we have is, we can tell you where exactly the freight is going, but our customers are also very interested in is what's going in each of these things. So what we have now collaborating with some of our partners is that whenever a label is printed, say in a warehouse, we get a copy of that, right? We get to know what is the products and where is it going to and which carrier is it going to. So the entire process is fully automated in that way. So we are really ensuring by this, we really don't have to depend on someone to send any information to us. It all seamlessly works with that. So if you see with these two various different distinct examples, we can actually even sometimes in situations when we really don't have to even integrate or create an integration to our customer, we can get all of that data directly through that ecosystem of partners, which they are also using. So to me, that's a pretty good use case of AI that we are doing. And especially, and lastly, I would talk about is Gen AI, right? So last year, we launched our Gen AI capabilities. One of the problems when we asked our CSCOs, various different chief supply chain officers of our customers, And we asked them, what's our biggest challenge? They said supply chain skill sets is a big challenge, and they really are not able to keep the people for longer. And if they had solutions where there is not enough training to be done to learn and drive and execute those softwares, that would be great. So what we did was we used the newer Gen AI capabilities, and we gave a platform to our customer's hand where they really don't have to learn anything. They can ask any questions regarding their shipments, past performance, or anything, and then they can just simply get that answer. So these are three very distinct use cases of how we are using AI with our data right now.
That's really cool. I think a lot of the conversations we've had in the past have been around just being able to use AI to better understand and analyze data to provide outputs that help make better business decisions. But the fact that you're also taking that data and creating an experience or using it to enhance the experience that these companies have with the end solution to make it so it's easier to manage, easier to understand, easier to access that data is pretty cool. Where do you kind of see things going, as you know, you've been in this space for a while, seen how IoT has come in and transformed it, AI is coming in and transforming it together. But where do you see this going? What are the next steps? What are those maybe hurdles that have not been kind of stepped over yet that people are still kind of looking for solutions to that you think we're getting closer to being able to achieve?
If you think about Yard, for example, is a space that is right now extremely hot in terms of using these technologies to drive operations within the yard. So you have seen probably a lot of videos of warehouse automation, but the same thing is now coming outside the four walls of that warehouse into the yards, where now customers are looking to automate that as well. And you can only automate that through various devices. For example, we can now look at where exactly the truck is in a facility. So imagine a yard could be anything between a small yard to miles, a couple of miles, 3 miles, yards, and so on as a square miles yard. So which are pretty huge spaces, and it's very difficult to locate where exactly the asset is and move them to a dock door and move them to a different thing. So having IoT devices and the signals coming in and having an ability to identify which asset should be moved when, to drive it efficiently, is an area that right now is we are getting a lot of interest from our customers in that particular in this area. So that's one. The other one is with the data. I think you asked me a question, what else are we doing with that data? So now we have always been telling our customers the predicted risks to their shipments and so on. Now what our customers are saying, can you also use AI to help recommending stuff? So if you can actually, if we take certain, what would be the recommendations you can come up with? So for example, if you see that the transit time should be increased, when should I actually do my shipping? Should I go earlier or later, depending on the transit or what you see on the road, weather or socioeconomic impacts that are there downstream? Can you help us to recommend stuff as well? So that's where we are seeing many of our customers asking to go for as well.
Yeah, I've been seeing some solutions out there about yard management, and I know some of the work that you're doing is really kind of helping solve those problems, and that's a big area that I know insights are really being looked for or looked into for a lot of these companies. So that's great. I think that's definitely a big area of need, and excited to kind of see how things roll out on that front as well going forward. One of the last things I wanted to ask you is, how about cameras? How are cameras? How's computer vision kind of playing into all this? And I've been speaking with some other companies around the use of cameras and computer vision solutions, combining that with the data that it collects with IoT and then AI, and bringing that all together to provide, you know, new solutions. How are you seeing that play a role into this? And are you involved in that space kind of yourself?
Yeah, no, I think cameras have started to become a big part of the whole IoT ecosystem. So as I said, from a gate management perspective, having cameras at the gate to identify what asset, what truck is coming, what's the number plate, and automating the entire process is one part of it. But then there are other customers who are starting to dabble into the utilization of camera even inside those trucks and assets, right? So whenever you're moving a freight from point A to point B, it costs a lot of money, and that space is very important. So yes, many customers are trying to reduce cost by doing as frequent movements, But what they're also trying to see is, can I more efficiently use that space or not? So what we are also seeing is the use of cameras to understand, have I actually utilized the space completely? Is my asset 90% full or 50%? Because if you say traditionally what used to happen was people would just floor load stuff on the trucks. So there would be a lot of empty space at the top. Now with the cameras and so on, they can really see that, oh, there is a lot of air we are shipping. So is there a way to maximize that or not? So that's one. The other area that our customers are looking for, especially for high value goods, is anytime the door opens of a particular asset, they want to have those cameras available to understand the door has been opened, if there has been any activity, any freight has been taken, any unauthorized access to the door has been done. So that's another very big use case of the camera devices. So these are the two examples of some of the many other examples of camera that we are starting to see right now in our space.
We're excited to see kind of how cameras are playing a role. It's kind of a different way to sense things than obviously like a device sensing maybe temperature or something along those lines or environmental conditions, right? So it's very interesting to see how cameras are being used now. I think cameras are becoming more of a commodity, but just how do you use those cameras? How do you get that data in? What are you doing with that data? All that's providing more business value. Just like when IoT started to come into any of these industries, being able to collect data that wasn't able to be collected before. It's just providing that access to that data allows people to make better decisions. Really exciting to see. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk with me. I'd love it if you could maybe tell our audience where they can learn more about what y'all have going on.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks, Ryan, for this. And for our audience, if you want to know more about what FolkGuides does, one of the assets is going to FolkGuides.com. And then also, if you want to listen to what our customers are saying about FolkGuides, you can also look at Gartner Peers about it. But just go to FolkGuides.com. You will start to see some of the use cases we are trying to solve and how we are also extending that visibility to various different use cases. And if you have any further questions, do please reach out to us.
Perfect. Appreciate the time and excited to get this out to our audience.
Well, thank you, Ryan. It's been a great conversation. So thank you for inviting me.